I'd like you to turn first to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and I will be reading verses 10 through 31. Please listen as I read God's word. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plans a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates while he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And then from the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. Verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. This topical sermon is titled, Honor Your Mother. I will direct your attention this morning to the good gift God has given to us in mothers. The world naturally thinks about honoring mothers on Mother's Day, and I hope you do too. But I pray that the honor that you give to mothers is not limited to just this one day. I pray that the pattern of your lives would set a lifelong pattern of love and respect that characterizes you all the days of your life. This morning, as we look at this commandment and as we think about honoring your mothers, we will look at two things. First of all, the command itself, honor your mothers, and second, what that command entails. I have five different things to point out to you. But by way of introduction, I found kind of a fun article on the internet suggesting a want ad that would read as the job for a mother. And it starts off, it actually separates it for the different years of a child's life, and it starts off for an infant. Wanted. Easygoing, relaxed, loving type to care for infant. Should enjoy rocking, cuddling, being able to hold the baby patiently for 20-minute feedings every 3 or 4 hours without fidgeting, light sleeper, early riser, no degree necessary, must take all shifts, 7-day week, no vacation unless arranged, own mother as temporary substitute, no opportunity to advance. A year and a half later, the ideal candidate for the job of mothering the same child would match this description. Wanted, athlete in top condition to safeguard tireless toddler, needs quick reflexes, boundless energy, infinite patience, ESP helpful, knowledge of first aid essential, must be able to drive, cook, phone, work despite constant distractions. Workday, 15 hours. No coffee or lunch breaks unless the child naps. Would consider pediatric nurse with Olympic background. Well, it goes on through the other phases of a child's life, and it's a humorous way of getting a little bit of a glimpse of what it is a mother is expected to do. And now I'd like to direct your attention to the honor that is due to mothers because of that selfless giving, which I just described humorously. Honor your mothers. The first thing that you should be struck by is that God commands you to honor your mothers. When God gave the Ten Commandments, he set in stone a summary of the moral law that was already apparent from the creation. By that I mean, does it need to be said that you should honor your mother? Do I have to really say that? We would expect everyone to understand that a child should love and honor his mother. But there it is. It's set in stone. God gave it as his commandment, the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. For my purpose today, I'm not going to touch on the relationship of father and mother, of husband and wife. The husband and father is an important aspect of that relationship. But I'll leave that for Father's Day, I guess. Following the theme of honoring mothers, you should notice that this is part of the command. God did not just say, honor your father. God also said, honor your father and your mother. Now, of all people, God is committed to male headship. And that's something that we in this congregation understand and are committed to. That from all creation that God has set an order in a family, an order between husband and wife, and that God has given authority directly to the husband to lead his household. But male headship does not negate the honor that is due to mothers, the honor that is due to wives. This principle is repeated in the New Testament when Paul said, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. The fifth commandment and Paul's instruction have to do with godly authority. And God has set authority in his creation. To have authority means to have the rightful power to act. And we understand that all authority ultimately comes from God himself, that he is sovereign over all things. Nevertheless, God has also instilled or transmitted that authority to his creation and delegated authority to the institutions that he created, to family, to church, and to state. These are God-given authorities. As we submit to them and as we honor their authority, we are ultimately submitting to God's rule, because it is God who has set up these authorities to rule. And conversely, as these authorities exercise their God-given responsibilities, they are acting as representatives of God himself. That means that the way that you relate to your parents, and especially the way that you relate to your mothers, is indicative of the way that you relate to God. Honor your mothers. is a command that God has given. What does it mean, then, to honor your mother? I have five things to place before you this morning. First of all, it entails respect that touches inner attitudes and outward expressions. Respect. And that touches both the heart and the hands, what you think and what you do. And for the most part, the outward expressions are probably the easiest to identify and actually the easiest to train in. For example, the way you speak to your mother is an outward expression of respect. Conducting your conversation towards your mother with kindness rather than being critical and disrespectful. Giving expressions, outward expressions of appreciation for the goods that she has done in your life. Those are outward ways to express respect for your mother. Proverbs speaks of the opposite side, the negative side of showing respect as being mocking or scornful towards your mother. Proverbs 15, verse 20 says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." Despises his mother. And Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." Kind of a startling and gruesome way to catch your attention about how serious it is for you to practice respect towards your mother. Isn't it interesting that Solomon identifies the scornful eye? That's still an outward expression, but it begins to narrow down and to focus on the inner attitude, because scorn is something that rises up out of the heart and then is eventually expressed outward. And you remember that all of God's commandments, all of what he says in the Ten Commandments, reaches far beyond just the externals of what we do, but penetrates down to our very hearts. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that anger is an expression and a violation of the commandments, "Do not commit murder." And to lust for a woman is a violation of the commandment to commit adultery. The commandments of God reach down into our very hearts. And so this idea of honoring your parents touches not just what we do and say on the outward, but reaches all the way down and touches our hearts. In fact, if the heart is full of disrespect or disregard for your mother, it will show up in your outward expressions too. You've probably all seen someone roll their eyes at their mother. Do you know what I'm talking about? Would you go and do this? That is the disrespectful eye, the mocking and scornful eye that Proverbs speaks of and warns against so carefully, that says ravens will come and pick it out. The rolling of the eyes is an outward expression of what you're thinking in your heart. You may not say it on the outside, and the child may actually obediently go and do what they were asked to do. It may not say anything, but what is it that's in the heart? Good grief, I hate doing this. I hate her for asking me to do that. That's what's really in the heart. And that is grave disrespect towards your mothers. command to honor your parents is repeated in the book of Leviticus. In chapter 19, verse 3, it says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. Notice again, both parents are described here. It uses the word revere, and that's a word that we usually use to describe our relationship of worship to God. We fear God by revering him. We worship him. We give him honor and respect as he deserves. When we apply that word to mankind, it doesn't mean to worship like we do when we talk about revering God. In fact, there we would warn against this, and some cultures actually do take reverence for parents quite literally and take it to the form of worship. Some of the Eastern cultures especially would go even to the extent of praying to ancestors who have died and giving reverence to their parents or reverence to their elders. Now, we are careful to say that that's not what this type of reverence is. We do not worship our parents, and that's not what this type of respect is that's given. But while we can see the error of worshiping our parents, I also want you to see the error of, I think, our culture is to take it to the other extreme and to treat those in authority and to treat our parents and our mothers with no respect whatsoever. And so our mother becomes our friend. And it's a good thing for friends or for children and mothers to be friends. But the relationship is often defined only by a friendship of peers. And a friendship of peers can break down and become enemies and become heads butting against each other. And it is quite against the relationship that God describes, because the relationship that you have with mother, while it is friendly, is not a relationship of peers. And by that, for the children, I mean that peers are those who stand on the same level. They have the same amount of authority. Well, this may come as a surprise to you, but you don't have authority over your mother. I hope that's not a surprise. I hope you understand that very carefully, that your mother has authority in your life, and you are not a peer with her. And while she loves you and is your friend, and nothing you can do will violate that, you are not her peer. You are not on her level, and you show her respect because of the authority that God has given to her. So you are to show respect to your mother. In fact, I would urge you that if God's word and this message convicts you of showing disrespect to your parents, that you take time this afternoon to speak to your mother and your father about that, and ask them especially to help you identify those actions, those words, even the body language that shows disrespect to them, and that you ask that God would help you to learn a heartfelt respect that is shown in outward expressions. The second aspect of honoring your mother is closely tied to respect, and that is obedience. I read from Proverbs 30, verse 17, it said that the foolish man scorns obedience to his mother. And I pointed out earlier how the command is repeated in the New Testament showing the pattern of godly behavior. It says, children, obey your parents. And here again, it seems to be self-evident, doesn't it? What better way is there for you to honor your mother than to do as she says? What better way is there to show her that you love her and to appreciate her? Breakfast in bed once a year? That's a good thing, I have no difficulty with breakfast in bed. It's a wonderful thing. But is that better than obedience? No, it's not. One of the best ways that you can show your mother that you honor her is to do what she says, to learn obedience and to demonstrate the love that you have for her by doing what she asks you to do. This comes through in our relationship to God as well. Jesus said, if you love God, or if you love the Son, if you love Jesus Christ, then you will keep his commandments. The same is true in your relationship to your parents. One of the best ways that you can express your love for your mother is by doing what she tells you, to practice obedience. And that can start with the smallest of things. It can start with just the very fact of coming when you are called, and coming the first time that your mother calls you. If you hear your mother call and you say, "Not now, Mommy, I have something else to do," is that obedience? If you just ignore her call, is that showing love to your mother? That is showing disrespect. That is showing disobedience. And it can start in that very smallest of ways of coming when your mother calls you, and coming the very first time so she doesn't have to repeat herself. It follows through in the other responsibilities and jobs and the daily life in which you are being trained. When they have a job for you to do, or they tell you to do something, do it the first time. Do it immediately, not later, not in a minute, not when I get the chance. If they tell you no when you ask for something, then listen and obey without talking back. If they're training you in certain regular responsibilities, pay attention. Learn to do them without having to be reminded. Maybe you have a regular routine in the morning, making your beds. Maybe you have regular chores around the house, of clearing the table or doing the laundry, cleaning up the yard. Whatever those regular responsibilities are, your mother is training you to live as an adult, to take on those responsibilities yourself and to do them yourself. As she is training you in those, learn to do those responsibilities without having to be reminded. Do them when you see the job. When you see the trash can full to the brim, don't wait for her to tell you that it's your job to empty the trash can. But take those responsibilities to heart and obey. And the same thing applies to the obedience as applied to respect. It touches not just the outward expression, but also touches the heart. It touches the heart in doing a job well and not leaving it half done. It touches the heart in doing the job merrily, and doing it not just to be an eye pleaser, as Paul describes or tells servants in their relationship to their masters. Again, the respect that is shown and the obedience that is shown touches the heart as well as the actions. And one final word about obedience, and which is coupled with respect, is that obedience can be rendered or given in many different ways. It can be done with a scowl. It can be done with a growl and with a grudging, doing what you don't want to do. Or it can be done in a way that remembers that God's command touches the heart. And to honor your mother is to train your hands and your heart to obey with rejoicing. To rejoice in your mother's instruction, and as you work, to remember the rare treasure that you have in a Christian mother. The third aspect of honoring your mother is to submit to their discipline. Part of the responsibility that God gives to those in authority is to correct and to discipline. And mothers have a special role in this because generally they are engaged in the day-in and day-out activities of the family. There are some lessons and some correction that that is most beneficially learned when it is swiftly administered. Sometimes it's wise to say, we will take this up when your father gets home. And the father has an important role in the administration of discipline. But that doesn't mean that the mother does nothing. In fact, there is correction and discipline that takes place from the mother as well. And as I said, quite frankly, sometimes the lesson is better learned when the discipline follows right on the heels of the disobedience, so that the connection can be quickly made of what the correction is coming for. Discipline is aimed at two things. First of all, punishment of the wrongdoing, so that the children, you will understand and know what it is that you should avoid. But it is also geared at correction. A spanking does both of those, in that there's punishment to warn you away from the wickedness or from disobedience, and leads to the time of instruction, of telling and learning from your parents what it is that you are to do instead of what you're disciplined for. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says that the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Why shame? Why is a child left to himself shameful to his mother? Because he or she has not submitted to the godly discipline and has steered a course towards wickedness and away from righteousness. Rather than receiving and submitting to the godly discipline which the Lord has brought in your life. So what do you do when your mother rebukes you? What do you do when your mother disciplines you? I pray that you receive that punishment. And then out of sorrow for your sin, you repent before God and before your mother, before your parents. And I pray that you receive the instruction and correction that they give to you, and that you learn to hate the sinful behavior that she sees, and that you learn to ask God for help and your mother's help to stop practicing that sinful behavior, and instead practice the godly action that she is training you in. That leads us to a fourth aspect of honoring your mother, and that is to seek her wisdom and advice in the decisions of life. This would, as before, be connected to both your mother and your father. But it is interesting to me that Proverbs links both parents together in Proverbs chapter 23. It says in this chapter, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." I also read from Proverbs 31 that focuses on the wife and the mother. And in this chapter says that she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. For you children, God has placed you in a family and given you parents who are wise. And for those here today, He's given you Christian parents. He's given you godly influences in your lives. In your life, you will face many significant choices. In the coming years, you will face choices regarding what your future will look like. It may include choices of where you will go to school, what you will study. You may be sitting around the table or call home and say, I met this godly man, or I've gotten to know this godly woman, what should I do? Those are questions for which God has placed you in a family. I have joyfully described before my own memories of being the last one to leave the table at home at supper times sometimes, and my mom, who waited on everyone else, was still finishing eating, and just having conversations that ranged over all areas of my life. And I think in my high school years, that I don't remember all of the topics that we covered, but we talked about girls, and we talked about studies, and we talked about things that that mattered to me, and she engaged me in those conversations. And I don't think I sought out her wisdom as much as she made herself available to someone who needed it. And I thank God for a wise mother and the wisdom that he imparted through her to me in my life. Well, I've described just some decisions that you might face and the experiences that will happen in your life that are so important to relate with your parents. For the time being, God has placed you under their authority. Remember, you're not peers. You're under their authority, and it's for a reason. God has placed you there to guide you and to help you learn how to make decisions. And someday, you will have a home of your own. And there will be a new dynamic between you and your parents. But during this time, seek out the wisdom of your mother. Finally, and I would say most importantly, honor your mothers by encouraging their growth in the Lord. The first four ways that I've described, they all rest on the foundation of a Christian faith. The woman of Proverbs 31 is praised ultimately because she fears the Lord, not because of her beauty, not because of her ability to cook or to clean or to care for her children or to care for the poor. Why is it that her children call her blessed? Why is it that her husband rises up to praise her? It's because she is a godly woman. Her diligence, her mercy, her wisdom, her strength come from the Lord. To be blunt, the job of being wife and mother doesn't happen in her own strength. I say that to the mothers who already know that, and to the husbands and children who may not yet, that it doesn't happen in their own strength. In fact, if, as I read Proverbs 31, you were sitting there thinking, boy, I wish my wife would just try harder to live up to this image, then you missed the point of Proverbs 31. And you missed it badly. The wife that tries just to live up to that measure by her own strength will meet frustration after frustration after frustration. And if those are your expectations for your wife and for your mother, you are setting her up for a huge burnout. The woman in Proverbs 31 stands daily at the foot of the cross and admits the need of Christ. and his strength to face the responsibilities of the day, and his righteous robes to clothe her, because she knows that she is not able to save herself or to do the work that she is called to do. And then, clothed in the righteous robes of Christ, she goes forward to carry out her work with thanksgiving and wisdom and diligence. All of those things happen in the context of a woman fully engaged with God. And that happens in the context of the means of grace, both public and private. And so giving honor to your mother and to your wife means giving encouragement to her in her Christian life. It means giving her full access to the means of grace, both those that are public and those that are private. By public, I mean those that are carried on in the corporate body, the preaching of the word, fellowship, instruction. That means for you children to honor your parents in the public worship so that your mothers can worship God. That means sitting quietly and learning to pay attention yourself and not always pulling on your mom's sleeve and asking for a drink of water or to go to the bathroom or for a pencil to draw with. That means for the husbands, for you to be involved in training your children in these things so that it's not just your wife that has care of the kids during this time. It means giving her opportunities for fellowship with other saints, especially other godly women. Those are the public means of grace. They're also the private means of grace, the ministry of the word and prayer. One of the most common cries that I have heard from mothers over my ministry is, "When in the world can I read my Bible? When can I have time to pray?" And let me just make a comparison to a flashlight at this point. You use your flashlight for an important purpose. It shines in the darkness. It shows your way. It has an important role. If it's not there, you'll probably get hurt, won't you? You want your flashlight there. What happens when the batteries go dead? The light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and finally flickers and it goes out. Your mothers and your wives need time to recharge their batteries. They need the means of grace in their life so that all of these other things that I have been speaking about will take place. For children, that means respecting her quiet time. If your mom is reading her Bible or praying, give her some peace. For husbands, that means respecting her quiet time. When the children are young, it's especially hard for mothers to find time because so much time and energy is focused on just giving that care. And so find ways to ease the chores that she faces day in and day out so that she can have find time to recharge her batteries. As I said, that most of all is the way that you honor your mothers. That most of all encourages her in her growth in the Lord and gives her opportunity to then be equipped by Christ to serve in these many ways. God has given us good gifts in our mothers. I pray that you would learn to hear the command of God to honor your mother and your father, that you would learn to respect, to obey, to submit to discipline, to seek her wisdom, and to encourage her growth in the Lord. Let's bow before God in prayer. O Lord, we again thank you for the rich gift of mothers. We thank you for the wisdom and the gifts that you have given to them to serve in such a mighty fashion in our lives. God, teach us to honor our parents. Teach us to show respect to our wives and to our mothers. Teach us that that touches our very hearts, and that we would highly esteem the good gift that you have given to us in them. Lord, I pray that you would be refreshing the mothers in you, that you would be causing their batteries to be charged by the means of grace, by the joy that they have in their labors, by the joy that they have ultimately in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to Psalm 131. This psalm uses the relationship between a mother and child to describe the dependence that we have upon God, and the and as a baby is dependent upon a mother, so we describe ourselves as depending upon the Lord. Let's stand and sing Psalm 131.